worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's Thursday down here in the Sunshine State. Hope everyone else is having a blessed day as well. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It finally warmed up here a little bit. It's 73 degrees, and we've got a partly sunny sky with a bunch of hazy stuff. I can't tell if it's chemtrails or not. But I've got good news for everybody, and I'm being a little facetious with this, but the Pope is once again contradicting the Bible, and he's once again saying things like, there is no hell. And this is just unbelievable. In another interview with his longtime atheist friend, you kind of wonder why he hangs out with atheist people, Eugenio Scalfari, the Pope Francis claims that hell does not exist and condemned souls just disappear. This is the denial of 2,000-year-old teaching of the Catholic Church about the reality of hell and the existence of eternal existence of the soul. The interview between Scalfari and the Pope was published March 28th in La Repubblica, and their relevant section on hell was translated by highly respected weblog Barat Kali. The interview is headlined, The Pope. It is an honor to be called revolutionary. Scalfari says to the Pope, Your Holiness, in your previous meeting, you told me that our species will disappear in a certain moment, and that God, still out of his creative force, will create a new species. You've never spoken to me about the souls who died in sin and who will go to hell and suffer for eternity. You have now, however, spoken to me of good souls admitted to the contemplation of God. But what about bad souls? Where are they punished? And Pope Francis says, bad souls, they are not punished. Those who repent against the forgiveness of God and enter the rank of souls who contemplate him, but those who do not repent cannot therefore be given, disappear. There is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls. I mean, you know,
wow.
This Pope, man, I don't even know where this guy's coming from, Austin. I mean, if I was the Catholics right now, you know, I would be absolutely raising Cain and just absolutely running around with torches and pitchforks at the Vatican. What do you think?
I agree with you. I don't know how to get him out of there, but he needs to go, man. I mean, this is just blasphemous material that he's starting to spew out now. I mean, this is what, you know, we knew a lot of this stuff was going to start to come to pass at this point in time, because it has to be done to bring in that one world religion, basically, that nothing's wrong, everything's right, anything you do gets you to wherever you want to go, there is no heaven, there is no hell, this is where it's going. And so, I mean, he's slowly trying to get the rest of the population conditioned to this type of ideology. Very, very weird stuff. I did actually have some good news today, because I'm glad this finally got brought up. If anybody saw this, Donald Trump tweeted today, he said, I have stated my concerns with Amazon long before the election. Unlike others, they pay little or no taxes to state and local governments. They use our postal system as their little delivery boy, causing tremendous loss to the U.S. government, and are putting many thousands of retailers out of business. I saw another article today, too, that said sources close to the president told Axios that he is obsessed with Amazon's negative effect on brick-and-mortar retailers. That's another source explained that he's wondered aloud if there may be a way to go after Amazon with antitrust or competition laws. According to the insiders, the president has expressed his disdain for Amazon while discussing tax policy and shown interest in taking action against the online retailer, but is not yet formulated a plan on how to go about doing so. So I'm glad he finally addressed this again on Twitter. This is definitely something that's becoming more and more of a problem month and month and month as we go along. These guys get larger and larger and larger at the expense of the taxpayer, no less. I mean, we've said that before, that, I mean, these guys get the biggest breaks, and in some cases are almost paid, essentially, to use the postal service. At the same time, we have to bail the Postal Service out with taxpayer funds every year. So when you really look at the math, Amazon's not really giving you that good of a price. Our taxpayers are subsidizing their cheap shipping. So their little prime that they like to promote and push on everybody, we're actually paying for it in the long run. So he brought that up today. I'm glad to see that. I hope he really actually can figure out a way to do something about this, because the longer that Amazon is allowed to get a foothold in the industry that they're in, the more and more brick and mortar stores are going to be going out of businesses, and more retailers and mom and pop stores are simply just going to fade away, Deb.
It's already happened, Bud. I mean, you know, it's just even Walmart took out almost all the mom and pops, and you know, now Amazon's taking out Walmart. And you know, it's a giant monopoly. It's just another Rothschild monopoly. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, but Jeff Bezos doesn't have the smarts to be able to put together what he's done with this thing. I guarantee that. Nor did he have the cash flow in the beginning to handle the massive amounts of money they lost in the beginning, and how they were losing money every single year, the hundreds of millions and billions of dollars, and suddenly they start turning a profit when they start putting everybody else out of business. Let me give you another example like this. Let's say, for instance, somebody's selling a jar of medicinal Manuka honey on the Amazon. You know, our cost, if we buy that, it's like $18 a bottle. That's directly from the supplier. You know, they're selling this product on Amazon for like $22. Now, here's the problem. Amazon takes like 10% off the top. So you basically have a $22 product. You're giving $2 to Amazon. You're making $18. Then Amazon subsidizes their postage by sending it to you Prime. And nobody else can compete against that. And they probably go to the supplier and they buy it a little bit cheaper. Maybe they get it for $16. So they're making $1 or $2 per can on the people that are selling it. But there's no margins in it. In other words, you can't pay your staff. You can't pay your shipping. You can't pay your garbage pickup. You can't pay your telephone costs. You can't pay anything. And that's why so many retailers now have been forced to completely shut their phones off. I mean, almost invariably, you try to call a company right now to talk to them, you don't get anybody anymore. You've either got to send them an email, or they'll allow somebody to talk to you online, but you don't get a live person. And chances are the people you're talking to online are out of China or out of Thailand or out of the Philippines somewhere, when they keep the cost to a few dollars a day. I mean, this is what's happening all over the United States. And this is why we have been so appreciative of all of you folks who have supported Health Masters for the past 37 years, because you call us, we answer the telephone. You have a health question, best of our ability, as long as it's not a medical thing that we can't get involved with, we'll be happy to answer you. I mean, we'll be able to help you as much as we possibly can. Let me give you another example. This morning, we had breakfast at a hotel. We're back at a hotel tonight, last night. And we were having breakfast, and the guy comes walking in. Looks like he's about 70, and he's wearing a pair of motorcycle riding boots, and he's wearing a BMW leather jacket. And so I started talking to him, and he's been all over the country, you know, on motorcycles, likes to fly fish and do all kinds of stuff, and basically goes out in the wilderness and fly fishes on, like, you know, these cross motorcycles where, you know, that BMW makes, that, you know, they're half a race bike and half an off-country bike. And I started talking to him, and we struck up a conversation with him. Come to find out, he's had like cancer like 4 times. He's got like all of these health problems. Already had his thyroid removed. I finally asked him, how old are you? He said, well, I'm 58. I thought he was 70. And I asked him, what year were you born? And he gave me the wrong year. He's actually 56. He didn't even remember from the statin drugs that he's on, Austin, what year he was born. And on top of that, he's already had a stroke. So here he is, and he's already had bypass surgery, and he's already had back surgery. This guy was a physical wreck. And I started talking to him. He's taking like 15 different prescription medications. And he said he has to go to the doctor now and tell him what he needs, because they don't know what to do because of all the drug interactions. And I started giving him some information. I said, look, dude, I said, here's the thing. I said, how healthy do you want to be, and what are you willing to do for that? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's a very simple question. I said, do you want to be healthy? Do you want to get off some of these 15 drugs? Do you want to work with a physician here in the area? I can try to find you one. that's willing to get you off some of this medication you're on. He goes, well, I don't know what to do. He goes, I literally get up in the morning and I have my coffee, and then by 1 o'clock I'm back in bed again, and I can't sometimes get up the entire day. I'm in bed all day. And he goes, I'm in so much pain and agony and all kinds of problems with my chest and my back and my hips and my legs and my arms and diabetic neuropathy and all of it. Listen, what an awesome, it was unbelievable. And the guy is 6 years younger than me. 6 years younger than me. And you know, and it just shows you that if you give these guys the opportunity and you allow them to give you enough drugs to treat enough symptoms that never cause the problem to go away, just the symptoms disappear, and those symptoms being covered up cause other problems to show up. If you give them enough time, they will literally make your health disappear. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. So I gave you my, if you know, my cell phone number, and I said, but I should tell you what, just text me, and I said, I'll send you a link and some more things you can read. And quite frankly, Austin, I doubt he'll ever contact me because he's so caught up in the medical model of things that it's one of those things, just trying to get him out of the medical model is like trying to pull teeth. You know what I'm saying? It's just so difficult to pull him out of the mess he's already in. His father lived to be in his 90s. His mother lived to be in her, in fact, his mother's still alive. She's in her 80s. And, you know, he's already had, both his brothers have already had heart attacks and strokes, and they're younger than him. They're in their 40s and early 50s. And I, you know, this is just absolutely crazy that these folks are out there with these types of health problems. Now, remember what I told you about the Rockefeller Medical Complex. The reason this happens is there's big money in getting somebody on 14 or 15 different drugs at one time. The most I've ever seen is 25. The most I've ever seen also was 25 drugs at once. I mean, I'm talking prescription medications. And so that's what they do. The people don't understand. When you get a person addicted to drugs and they're on drugs for years, if not decades, or their entire life, what ends up happening is they never at that point have found a viable way to get off the drugs, especially if you start getting on the benzodiazepines, and you can stay on that stuff for the rest of your life. That's why it said in the Financial Times a few years ago, they're trying to make cancer a manageable disease like diabetes, so that way they can keep a person on a cancer drug for years, if not decades, to massively increase the profits of the companies. See, this is the goal. This is the goal of the pharmaceutical network. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, if I were you, if I, rather than taking 14 different medications a day, I'd rather take 14 different vitamins a day. I said, they'll make a big difference with you. But the problem is, a lot of these guys, they can't, their brains are so fogged out, they can't think through it anymore. I've had people come up to me before and they said, you know, we've got a real bad problem with rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm like, okay, you got to get off nightshade vegetables. And what are they? You can't have bell pepper, tomatoes, eggplant, or white potatoes. And they go, white potatoes? I eat a lot of white potatoes. I eat a lot of tomatoes. And I'm like, well, you got rheumatoid arthritis, don't you? Well, I'll never stop eating those. And I'm like, okay, then you'll always have rheumatoid arthritis. I said, I can't make you eat healthy. I can't make you not want to eat junk food. See, and that's the biggest problem, Austin. I've learned, and you've learned. I remember when you first took over, you know, the counseling sessions and all that kind of stuff. Not really counseling sessions, phone calls at Health Masters. I remember you used to tell people, well, if you know, you used to talk to all these different people who had like these third party deals about, you know, I want you to give me some information for my brother or my cousin or my uncle. And I mean, they never ever listen. They never ever listen. And so you learn very quickly. You learn very quickly. If a person really wants to be helped, that they can be helped. Yesterday, we were sitting in downtown Asheville. We were actually at the Biltmore State. And we were at the entrance of the Biltmore State, and this woman had this dog. Now, here's the thing with dogs. A lot of people have these dogs now because they're prescribed for them. They have some type of psychological problem or some type of health problem. And they get these dogs that are subscribed by their doctors or their psychiatrists, so they can walk around the mall with a giant Malamute, you know, that basically can, you know, bite a person's arm off, you know, in a scary situation, because they have a problem because something happened to them once in life and they were traumatized, and now they have a prescription for these particular dogs. And so the lady's sitting there and she's got this dog at the Biltmore. And I asked her, I said, is a dog a service dog? And she goes, yes, my husband has diabetes. And her husband's like 40 years old. And the guy, so I said, well, that's easy. You know, adult onset diabetes, there's a lot of things you can do for that, you know, for healthy blood sugar. And she said, well, what are they? So I started giving her some stuff she could do. Her husband walks up, and this is crazy. The dog's in the middle of a hallway in the building now, inside the building in a hallway at the entrance. And the husband walks over with a big 16-ounce glass of water. I mean, you know, not a glass of water, like a bottled water, right? And starts pouring the water into the dog's mouth right in the building and just pour the whole water out on the floor. I'm not making this up.
Golly.
Just poured it out on the floor. And I mean, just a complete and total lowlife. People walking through the water, slipping in the water, trying not to fall in the water. You know, the dog's laying in the water, spinning in the water. And I looked at her husband and I said, you know, your wife was asking me about some health things as far as diabetes. Never even spoke to me, never even acknowledged I was there, never even looked up, completely ignored me, completely horrible personality this guy had. So we walk away, there's 16 ounces of water that everybody's walking, the dog didn't even want the water, the guy just pours it into his mouth, goes all over the place. And I'm just inside the building. And I thought to myself, where are these people coming from? Are they this crazy and this self-absorbed that they have to have these dogs for their diabetes and they don't even care how they treat these dogs or how many people are going to spin or fall down in the water? And see, this is the problem that we have, Austin. And of course, the listeners of our show, they understand their health is the most valuable asset. I mean, think about it for a second. When you were born, your health came, unless you had really bad prenatal nutrition because of your mother, your health came as standard equipment when you were born. So you don't really have to think about your health. It's already there. It's kind of like when you order a car. You don't have to order a windshield for the car or tires for the car or rims for the car or a hood for the car. They all come as standard equipment. So you don't take them, really, you don't really make to pay much attention to them. You know, if you order fancier rims or order a fancy paint job or whatever, you think about that. But the standard equipment you don't care about. And so many people, Austin, they've taken their health for granted for so many years that eventually their health starts to deteriorate. And they think it's just a normal course of events for you to having your first stroke in your 40s or heart disease in your 30s or diabetes in your 20s or impotency when you're, you know, 25 years old. They think it's all normal because all their friends are having the same health problems. And it's not. It's not okay. This is part of the Rockefeller Medical Industrial Complex doing everything they possibly can, guys, to kill you as quickly as they possibly can and to get as much money from you before they kill you as they possibly can, to extract as much wealth from you as they possibly can and not care one bit about your health, period. That's how the majority of these guys are. Now, I'm not saying that every medical doctor is bad, because they're not. Probably 90% of the medical doctors out there are like that. They're not really who you think they are. It's all about the money for them. They don't really care about you. That's a fact. But there are about 10% of the medical doctors that are really, really good people. A lot of them are trained in natural medicine, natural health care, and a lot of them have been threatened to have their license taken away because they're not following the mainstream medical model. So, guys, be very, very careful before you allow them to start putting you on a bunch of prescription drugs. Now, I want to say one other thing. This is an interesting article, and it says, the masks are slipping as the alternative media war rages. Now, what's happened here, the CIA, and we've talked about this repeatedly, has gotten into the alternative media. And they started putting people out there that aren't alternative media people. We mentioned this yesterday. You've never heard of these people. They show up all of a sudden. They claim to be somebody important. They won't tell you who their real names are. They won't show their faces on the air. They won't give you any information about themselves. And all these guys are, in most cases, is a CIA false information plant. That's all they are. Now, this article goes on to say, it says, we have reached the stage when a lot of players in the alt media are being exposed. This has nothing to do with the little lights and slings and arrows between members of the Truther movement. This is about exposing the deep state actors pretending to be on the side of the patriots. There's a difference. There's an information war raging, and due to the level of intelligence now shared in various members of our liberation community, we are seeing the gloves come off and proof being shown. Now, they're talking about Thomas Paine, also known as Douglas Gabriel, who actually has a lot of really good information out there, and how they exposed Q for not being real. And the Lieutenant Colonel Potter also warned folks about getting hooked on Q, and that we are not seeing what has been promised on anything he said yet, and be wary of the appearances. They also tell us to be sure and to be wary. And they also tell us the sure way to determine who is on the side is to look at the topics they discuss or don't discuss. Here, listen to this. This isn't anything new for many of us, but if the independent media personality you're listening to refuses to discuss in depth such topics as the extraterrestrials, demons and aliens, and that stuff we talk about all the time, and the inhumane crimes of the space secret space program, Israel's agenda, senior executive service, the sovereignty issues in America, the establishment of the world trust holdings, all of this stuff. And have you noticed that there are only a couple of us at the bottom who are talking about all of this stuff? Okay, and he goes on to mention a bunch of names of people who are not talking about this stuff because, quite frankly, I consider them to be, you know, disinformation. He also, Thomas Paine says in this video, also tells us they have proof, now I believe this, that Dr. Jerome Corsi and Jason Goodman are not our friends. In our mind, that may lead to revelation of other people involved with them who are not actually who they say they are. So you may also remember, guys, it's so important that we really are careful who we listen to. You just be careful, guys, on who you listen to, what their background is. And again, if they refuse to talk about Afghan heroin, if they refuse to talk about the CIA and the drug smuggling, if they refuse to talk about the Mossad and what's going on in Palestine, guys, chances are they're deep state. They've got connections to the CIA and Mossad. What do you think, Austin?
I think you're absolutely accurate on that. I mean, there's a lot of topics of they're almost taboo now, even in alternative media, that people don't want to discuss. And the problem is these specific topics that you just brought up are not all of it, but a primary root of a lot of the issues that we have going on right now. That's why we were so adamant and very direct this week about this giant military spending bill. Nobody really wants to discuss anything about that except for Ron Paul. Most of the people don't even want to, oh, it's good, we're supporting and funding our military even stronger now. We've never had an issue not funding our military. We're the most overfunded military in the entire country. We have like the largest military budget of like the next four countries, top countries combined. It's never been an issue with this. Nobody wants to talk about, like Deb said, why we keep sending troops to stay in Afghanistan indefinitely, and at the same time the Afghanistan production of heroin literally seems to almost magically double almost every single year on top of itself. These aren't coincidences. Just like the fact that the military-industrial complex, we literally are the largest weapons supplier in the entire world. And the irony of that is so funny because you have these liberal leftists that are demanding the United States population be disarmed, yet at the same time, we literally supply 40% of the weapons in the entire world come from this country, to the point where last year we did almost $50 billion in sales as far as the military-industrial complex did almost $50 billion in arms sales in 1 year. This is what's going on that nobody wants to talk about. This is one other thing that I also brought up yesterday when I was talking to one of my friends. I said, have you guys noticed how every single gun bill that comes out, every single gun bill, it always has an exemption of the firearm regulations, whether it be under 21, whether it be assault weapon, whether it be magazine capacity. There's always an exemption for two sets of people. Have you ever noticed this? Every time. For law enforcement, even off duty, and military, as far as the actual military getting them. They're arming the military, they're arming the police, they're arming the rest of the country to a tune of $50 billion in small arms every single year, and at the same time, they're trying to completely revoke our ability to defend ourselves or even own a firearm. That's lunacy, guys. This is what is going on right in front of us, and yet nobody even wants to look at the facts that are really going on. Also, too, right now, as well, as weird as it's getting with Russia and the United States, Russia now has stated today they will expel 60 U.S. diplomats and close the U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg. This is huge. They announced it today. They said they will be removing the same number of diplomats the United States expelled earlier this week. They will also be closing down the entire U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg. They basically said that after the United States expelled 60 Russian diplomats and booted them out of Seattle, Washington, including the UN as well, Russia now is basically turning around and doing the exact same thing to them. So we're seeing basically the start of a war that's been fuming for the last couple years. At the same time, the military budget just exploded with more money this year. They're trying to take us back to war with some boogeyman. And I've talked about this repeatedly, and nobody ever wants to pay attention to it. Everybody wants just to blindly support our government and the military at any and all cost. Also, too, at the same time we see this going on, this just got released today that the State Department will be publishing new rules this week that will require most visitors and immigrants to the United States to turn over all recent social media, carrying out one of President Trump's key security enhancements of his extreme vetting executive order. Travelers will also be asked to list previous phone numbers, email addresses, and international travel during the previous 5 years. They will also be asked about potential family connections to terrorism. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is a lot of people agree, and I think I can agree as well, that we do need to have some significant vetting for people that are coming to this country. And make it even better, we just need to stop any type of immigration into this country, as far as, unless it's completely lawful and for a very specific reason. However, when you tie in what they're doing now to basically any visitors or immigrants that are coming into this country, the same way the TSA in the United States has been demanding that U.S. travelers hand over their phones, their laptops, their iPads to be inspected at will so we can go through and pry on them even more. This is all about conditioning the general population. We already know now from the information we've seen from Facebook and from Google, they literally track and monitor everything you do, even if you don't approve it, even if you block your cookies, even if you don't give them permission. They block everything, and they watch anything and everything you do. Harrison was curious to see if that Facebook was real as far as if they monitor everything. He went in and he found his personal data. You can go in Facebook, you can pull it up, and he printed it off. He literally printed it off. He only printed off a part of it, a stack of about 100 papers, all the way from every email he sent back to 2016, every phone call, every text message, every picture, every contact in his email address, every file in his phone, anything and everything he has done on all of his phones that is completely transferred over since 2016, Facebook has it stored in their memory on their servers on Facebook.com. This is what's going on, guys. The TSA doesn't need your phone or your iPad to figure out what's on it or to vet you. They already know what you've been doing. They already have the information locked in into the database out in Utah. It's all about conditioning the population to willfully give over their information at any and all costs, because we want to have our protection. We want to have our security. But at the same time, we're willingly giving up all of our liberties and freedoms. And nobody, a majority of people, don't even see what's going on, Dad.
Awesome. That was really scary and excellent. I mean, I had no idea Harrison had done that. Just a few years ago, Zuckerberg said he will never, ever, ever sell our information. But remember, yeah. Zuckerberg is a cutout. Okay, he's not who you think he is. Zuckerberg basically is a total complete. He was set up by the Rothschild banking cartel to do what he's doing. I mean, now he's deciding to go to Washington and testify into an inquest. And, you know, because this technology firms, they're leveraging of sensitive user data for commercial purposes. Now, Facebook has been the subject of a powerful public backlash officer's report surfaced 2 weeks ago that Cambridge Analytica, which we talked about in depth yesterday, an analytics firm that worked for the Trump campaign, improperly used data for more than 50 million Facebook users, guys. I mean, the news follows reports that the FTC could actually assess damages against Facebook up to $2 trillion. Wow. I quite frankly, I hope they shut Facebook down. I hope it completely and totally goes away. It's that bad. By the way, Children's YouTube is still churning out blood, suicide, and cannibalism. This is out of Wired Magazine. It says that YouTube videos using child-oriented search items are evading the company's attempts to control them. In one cartoon, a woman with Minnie Mouse's head tumbles down an escalator before being trapped in its machinery, spurting blood, while her children, baby Minnie and baby Mickey, are crying. The cartoon Minnie Mouse, Mommy Has Pregnancy Problem, Doctor treats episodes of Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck cartoon racked up over 3 million views from children in one day. It could even be viewed with YouTube's family-friendly restricted mode enabled and existed along with a plenty of similarly distressing content on Simple Fun, a channel that has been in operation since 2017. Now, this is what's going on with your kids, guys. They are training them and desensitizing them to absolute carnage and filth and murder and suicide and cannibalism. And these are like, we're talking baby Mickey Mouse, baby, I mean, all this kind of stuff on YouTube right now because they want to program the hearts and the minds of your children. Guys, let me give you some really good advice. I've had so many friends who've had kids who've gotten involved in pornography because they were unsupervised. And if you don't think the kids can turn off the doggone filters and basically open it back up again, you don't realize how smart these kids are and what they're capable of doing. It's better, just quite frankly, it's better. Keep your kids off social media. Keep them away from iPhones. Keep them away from all of that stuff as best as you possibly can until they go off to college. They don't even need it in high school as far as I'm concerned. By the way, Tiffany Trump, Donald's daughter, with I guess it was Marla Maples, and Joshua Kushner, they're quietly speaking out on out in support of gun control. Members of President Donald Trump's extended family are coming out in support of the March Our Lives and breaking with him on gun control policy. White House senior advisor Jared Kushner's brother, Joshua Kushner, both all strong, extremely strong Democrats, including Jared Kushner. Joshua Kushner actually attended the rally, and Trump's daughter, Tiffany Trump, liked the photos of the marches on Instagram. Trump, while initially pledging to take on the National Rifle Association, has backed down from his tough rhetoric in recent weeks because his numbers are sliding against his base and people are actually having enough of him and not wanting to deal with this nonsense any longer. In fact, conservatives, Chuck Baldwin, he was on with Austin last week, he wrote a really good article this week, and it says conservatives and Christians need to apologize to Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. He says, starting, for 16 years, conservatives and Christians rallied against the presidents Obama and Clinton for a way they exploded the size of government. Obama ran roughshod over the Constitution. Clinton and Obama waged unjust foreign wars. Clinton and Obama tried to enact more gun control. Clinton and Obama signed bills that funded the largest abortion provider in America, Planned Parenthood. Clinton and Obama, and for living immorally, Clinton. But now Donald Trump is doing the exact same thing in spades, and most conservatives and Christians are not only rallying against him, they're actually defending him. Donald Trump is exploding the size of the deficit spending like no other president before him. For example, after Ronald Reagan became the first president to grow the deficit to $1 trillion, Clinton busted a $1 trillion deficit mark in 4 years, Obama busted it in 2 years, now Donald Trump and his fellow Republicans have exploded the federal deficit by over $1 trillion in just 6 months. Oh, and even though Trump and company just borrowed another $1.3 trillion on behalf, we've been told they have to borrow another $300 billion this week. This is how much of a deficit Trump is running. So, guys, Donald Trump is not doing what he said he was going to do in any of these different areas. And quite frankly, I feel as though that we've all been really just marginalized as far as I'm concerned. I can say other words, but I'm not going to. we basically, he doesn't really care about the commitments he's made, or he wouldn't be doing this. And plus, he's continuing to fund, we mentioned this already, fund Planned Parenthood, which he said he was not, and the National Endowment for the Arts. And Austin, to me, this is a giant mess. And again, we see, as I said to you guys a year and a half ago when he took office, we will quickly see if Donald Trump's going to run the White House, the country, or if the deep state is going to be firmly in charge. And quite frankly, the deep state is still firmly in charge. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Completely. I mean, Planned Parenthood gets $500 million from us every single year. I mean, over $500 million in U.S. subsidy from taxpayers. That's completely egregious to me. Absolutely egregious. And the thing is, the Federal Reserve runs the country. They do whatever they want to do, and they do it however they want to do it. They completely own this country because of the debt that we're in, because they're so smart with their crafty ways as far as being able to do usury and manipulate the currency and the monetary policies. They've completely enslaved the entire country, and that's the issue that people, you know, people bring up the deficit this, the deficit that. There is no paying it back. There is no, that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's not going to be paid back. The only way to do it is to nationalize the assets of the Federal Reserve. There's no other way to start paying back money to them, because you would have to cut the budget so significantly low to actually start paying back just the interest on the money that we've borrowed. That still boggles my mind. I still have not ever been able to get that through my skull, is that we borrow money from an independent bank at interest. So we borrow money and then we have to pay interest on it to an independent bank that has no affiliation with the federal government at all. None. Zero. They're not even, they have nothing to do with the federal government. They're an independent bank that's owned basically by the Rothschilds and have a total global control essentially on most of the monetary policies throughout the world. So yeah, just crazy stuff. Also, in news of self-driving vehicles, the first self-driving vehicle pedestrian death has now occurred out in Arizona last week. A self-driving Uber SUV killed a pedestrian in suburban Phoenix, and the first death involving a fully autonomous test vehicle. Uber immediately suspended all road testing of such autos in the Phoenix area, of course. The testing has been going on for months as automakers and technology companies like the ride-hailing service compete to be the first time with cars that operate on their own. The Volvo was in self-driving mode with a human backup driver when it hit 49-year-old Elaine Hertzbeck while she was walking her bicycle. She died at the hospital. Now, on top of that, we have California, who has just become the latest state to approve new rules regarding autonomous vehicles. It now will allow companies like Uber, Lyft, and GM to conduct self-driving car tests on public roads without any human drivers present in the vehicle now. The new road rules were approved by the California Department of Motor Vehicles and are scheduled to take effect on April 2nd. So what happened is, in most states, these guys that have been doing the autonomous vehicle still have a backup driver behind the wheel. The vehicle pretty much will be running fully autonomous, but there's somebody behind the wheel that if something goes awry, they can grab the wheel, they can function it. This now, in California, they've approved these guys to operate fully autonomous vehicles with no backup driver at all in the vehicle on public roadways now. So we'll see how this goes. I think this autonomous vehicle thing, I'm not a fan of it at all, you guys know. I think the concept of what it is and being able to basically, yeah, being able to be driven back and forth to work is a cool concept on paper. When it comes down to real life functionality, to lawsuits, to death, to all types of aspects of being able to operate and control a vehicle, I don't like it one single bit. But the fact that after this happened in Arizona, California still agreed basically to allow this to go through with autonomous testing with no humans in the vehicle on public roadways, I don't like it one bit. But I cannot say, as I'm surprised, as California likes to do some really, really stupid stuff pretty regularly. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is out there, Dan.
let me explain something real quick to the listeners who haven't heard me talk about this before, and let me kind of give you an idea what Austin was talking about with the interest and all the stuff with the Federal Reserve debt. I'm going to make it real simple. This is not something I learned in economics in the MBA program at Florida State. They don't teach you this. They don't teach you this at all. But let's say, for instance, I wanted to start my own central bank. And let's say I had a backer. Let's say Bill Gates decided he was going to back me, or Mark Zuckerberg, or one of these other billionaires. And I ended up in a situation where I decided that we were going to buy the island of Grenada, or pick any island that you'd like. And what we ended up doing is, let's say we bought the island of Grenada, but we still don't have any money for the inhabitants of Grenada to trade currency. So I would go to Bill Gates and I would say to him, "Hey, Bill, I need to borrow $10 billion. You're the bank. I know you're worth, $100 billion. I need $10 billion of your assurance, and we're going to print up Bill Gates currency." This is like the Federal Reserve notes, okay? This is all it is. It's the Rothschild-issued reserve note. It's a debt instrument on money you borrow. It's all it is. And so Bill Gates prints up, $100 bills, $5 bills, $20 bills, $10 billion. I distribute it to the banks in Grenada, and people go in and they borrow. Now Bill Gates says, "I'm going to be nice to you. I'm only going to charge you 7.2% interest because it's kind of risky." Now, I did that on purpose because the rule of 72 says, divide 72 into how many, by 10, that's how many years it's going to take for the money to double itself. So stay with me. So I borrow $10 billion at 7.2% interest. In 10 years, that $10 billion is now $20 billion. I owe the initial principal of $10 billion, and I owe the interest of $10 billion. Here's where they got us, and here's why they can't pay the debt back. Austin's exactly right. The interest money was never printed by Bill Gates. In other words, even if I gave him the $10 billion back of all the money he gave me and completely got rid of my M1 capital, which is the money in circulation, I would still owe $10 billion from the interest that had never been printed. So I would have to borrow more money to pay the interest back. This is what's so insidious about the Rothschild banking cartel. They knew this back in 1913. This is usury. This is basically Babylonian money magic. Done it for thousands of years. That's what they call it. Yep. And what happens is, so now I've got to borrow another $10 billion. So now I owe them $20 billion, which again, that $20 billion is going to double itself in 10 years. I'm owing $40 billion. And the problem is, the money was never put into circulation. Only $10 billion ever got put into circulation. The rest of it is accrued interest that can never be paid back because it does not exist. It was never, ever printed. So that's what they've done to us, guys. That's what happens. See, when Bill Clinton, back in the late 90s, balanced the budget, or attempted to balance the budget, he started contracting the M1 money supply because he started paying off the national debt without borrowing as much money. We had a massive recession because the country ran out of disposable cash. This is what happened with all of the stuff back in 2007. It also happened with Richard Nixon back in the early 70s. You can't, this Babylonian money magic, like a trap, it's like one of those Chinese finger torture puzzles. You stick your finger into it, you can't get your finger out of it. Eventually, you got to cut the doggone thing off your hand. That's what this is. That's what they've got us into. And so, unless we quit this, it's never going to change. That's why every 4 or 5 years, it doubles, it doubles, it doubles, it doubles, it doubles. Because we have to borrow more and more money every year to pay the interest. The only reason that it hasn't gotten really bad in the last 10 or 15 years is the interest rates have been so low. If the interest rates were back at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12%, like it was before in the 70s, what would happen is this money would be doubling itself divided into 72. If it was 12%, it'd be every, 7 years, you'd be paying yourself 6 years, you'd have the money double in itself. The deficit would double. Just like it did all of those years. That's why we owe tens of trillions of dollars. Guys, that doesn't even include the off-book balance sheets. That doesn't include the Social Security Trust Fund, which is over $100 trillion. That doesn't include the $1.4 quadrillion that was put out in our currency through electronic transfers and debits. That's why AGI almost went bankrupt and had to be bailed out because they had been betting on all of this stuff, and you can't bet on it. It's a giant non-fundable, non-correctable Ponzi scheme, and the only thing you can do to fix it is to stop it and get out of this system, Austin. So I just want to explain that. So what's your next story?
Well, I'm glad you did, because you've done tons of research on that. And see, this is reason why, guys, not the reason, but one of the reasons why they had to get rid of JFK. Now, he started printing notes that actually were backed by silver. If you look at the old currency back then, you can pull up some of the notes, and there's some companies that still sell them. You can buy them because they're like antiques now, antique bills. But it'll say, payable to the bearer on demand and $5 in silver. It'll say that right on it. It's a $5 bill. It's a $5 note worth $5 in silver. They didn't want that. They can't have that. When you start issuing currency that's actually backed by an intrinsic metal that's been used for thousands of years as currency, you don't have this issue that we're running into now. Anytime you print paper, irredeemable paper currency, which is what we're handling now. You take a dollar or you take a $100 bill out of your wallet. At some point in time, that currency always reaches its cost of production, meaning whatever it costs to print that $100 bill, that $100 bill will one day be worth what it costs to print it. It happens every single time with funny money, or as they refer to it as irredeemable paper currency. It is not backed by anything. It has no worth. It does not have any metals backing it. It does not have any firearms backing it. It does not have any property backing it. It's only on the word of the Federal Reserve that it has any type of value whatsoever. That's why I tell people, and this is why once people get this in their head, they understand so much, why I tell people, put some of your money aside in silver or gold. I'm not telling you what to do financially. I'm not a financial planner. I'm telling you logically, with reason, if you look at what you're doing right now, instead of trying to hoard cash, doesn't it make more sense to buy an intrinsic metal that has always held its value? Silver and gold have never gone to zero. They've never even come close to that. They've been lower, but when you look at the lower amounts, when gold was at, $200-$300 an ounce, or silver is at $2-$3 an ounce, the amount of what you could buy with that $200-$300 was significantly more than what it is now. So it's not that the gold or silver has essentially gone up in value. It continues to provide you a hedge against the inflation of what this irredeemable paper currency is doing, and that's essentially going to nothing. Remember, a $100 bill right now costs the Fed essentially 16 cents to print. That's their overall cost and production of a $100 bill. The $1 bill, slightly pennies less because of some of the ink they use on it. Slightly. That's it. So that $100 bill that they give to us that we have to pay interest on of a $100 note, they have pennies in it. That is the whole money magic scam that Dad is referring to. That is why we've got ourselves in such a pickle now, and why there's no way to get ourselves out of it anymore. That's why the whole thing with the deficit and the budget and all this stuff is almost a joke when I see it, because there is no paying off the deficit. It's not physically possible, as Dad just explained. So, in other news too as well, this is something that's sad, but it shows you what's going on now. There's an article that I just read out of Germany entitled, "Our Schools Are Out of Control," which was from the president of Germany's Teacher Association, Heinz-Peter Meininger, told the Bild that the situation in schools is becoming so chronic with the increasing number of violent attack on teachers that it's creating the need for security guards at schools that have migrant populations of 70% or more. Meininger said that the attacks on teachers are primarily driven by cultural and religious attitudes held by Arab and North American teens who do not respect women whatsoever. They also said anti-Semitic attacks on Jewish children has become everyday occurrence, where some migrant children now are actually bringing knives and pepper spray to school to accost German and Jewish students. Like I said, asked whether the circulation of ISIS beheading videos in a school in Berlin was an isolated case. Meininger responded and said those incidences are now commonplace in schools. He goes, unfortunately, there are no longer individual cases, not even among very young students in elementary schools. Such incidences now exist at all the schools in Germany. One thing is for certain, cruel, violent videos and social networks have long since arrived in student life, and chat forms and movies like the described ISIS beheading videos are now spreading like wildfire in schools, and migrant children are now using them as an excuse to put violent acts into action on other students in the schools. So this is what we're seeing now, not just the older teenagers, 20-year-old migrants that have been coming into the country for years now that are causing issues. Now they see that just attitude, that behavior displayed by the older generation. At the same time, they're seeing this be portrayed on these videos. Now they are starting to act out on it and do the exact same thing that their older migrant followers have done. And this is something that's gotten worse and worse and worse in the country. This is why I've said for years now, we don't need any more migrants coming to the United States. The United States needs to handle its own problems right now. We need to get our own house in order before we keep bringing in tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people from another country that are diametrically opposed to our Christian values, Dad.
I couldn't have said it any better, Austin. In fact, you know, we've had all of these people now that have worked with the migrants in Germany. Many of them have left Germany because they said the social experiment did not work, and that they were basically being beaten up and raped as they helped these people. And I mean, just you can't take a group of people that have very low IQs, very low educational background, no skill set, an absolute hatred towards the West, an absolute hatred towards Christians, an absolute hatred towards Jews, and put them together in a Jewish Christian community and not expect to have the alpha dominant male in that room start expressing himself as far as how he feels about the other people, whether that's spraying pepper spray on Jews or pepper spray on Christians. It doesn't make any difference. That's what they're going to do. Or let's just take another step. How about we bring a machete next time and start beheading people in church schools? But
yeah.
Germany, this is multiculturalism. This is Angela Merkel, who basically is doing her best to destroy the entire fabric of the European society. By the way, China has deployed Skynet facial recognition. It can literally compare 3 billion faces per second. China has rolled out an advanced facial recognition system over 16 provinces, cities, and autonomous regions, ominously called Skynet, for the security and protection of the country, reports Workers Daily. The system is able to identify 40 facial features, regardless of angles and lighting, at an accuracy rate of 99.8%, all in seconds. It can also scan the faces and compare them with a database of criminal suspects at a speed of 3 billion faces per second, indicating all Chinese people can be paired in the system within a second. Unbelievable. In the past 2 years, over 2,000 criminals at large were reportedly apprehended by public security cameras using the system, while officials tout a June 2017 rescue of a 6-year-old girl reported missing in the Northwest. Now, the reason I want to bring this with China, because it's really, really important to understand what is happening in the United States. Think about this for a second. The Austin bomber, his capture exposes the depth of U.S. surveillance state. So when you tell us that they didn't know that Parkland was about to happen, or that the stuff in, you know, all the stuff in Vegas and all the other false flags were about to happen, it's all a bunch of lies. I mean, it's a bunch of lies. I mean, think about it. The communists, the Marxists, the leftists, the progressives, the liberals, the Democrats have deliberately tried to disguise the true objectives as outlined in the planks of the Communist Party, passing themselves off as middle ground in their stances by denigrating the concept of an imminent surveillance state and ridiculing it. They draw conservatives who are still undecided, the fringe elements, out of being proponents of the idea. Basically, they can bring more and more people into thinking it's better and healthier. The movement of the groups never mentions never ceases. It hasn't ceased with the fall of the Berlin Wall and subsequent unification of Germany in 1990, or the fall of the Soviet Union. More a restructuring than a fall in 1992. The communists are alive and well, operating within the United States at the lowest levels of our society and at the highest levels of government. We'll say with communists as a label that they are the end state and will purge all others who aren't in complete lockstep with them, because they are the communists. Now, I want you guys to do this for the new listeners we're picking up. Go to thehourofthetime.com. It's a website that's been around there a lot, from Bill Cooper, and Bill Cooper basically died. I believe it was Bill Cooper. I'm not sure of his name. But it's thehourofthetime.com, Hour of the Time, and look up Myron Fagan. They've got videos, well, they're audio recordings, and it talks about the Red Stars Over Hollywood by Myron C. Fagan. The reason I use this website, hourofthetime.com, is that it really is difficult to find this completed audio anywhere else. But you need to listen to what's going on with communism, who they are, the stars of Hollywood and who they are, and how they've been infiltrated by the Communist Party starting back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. This guy was a Jewish playwright in Hollywood, and he came out against them and basically was never allowed to produce plays or anything else again, because he was calling them out for what was going on in Hollywood because of the communist aspect of what they were doing. And guys, it's interesting to me that he actually did all of this stuff, and this situation hasn't gotten any better. I mean, it really, really hasn't gotten any better. This was William Cooper, not Bill Cooper. Milton William Cooper. His website, hourofthetime.com. He's been dead now. He died like 17 years ago. But guys, it's really important to listen to that video. It's like about an hour and a half long. It's worth every second. Guys, I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for listening to the shows. Incredible group of shows the last 2 weeks, this week and last week. I love you guys. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting all your supplements from us. Many of you say, well, we're getting a certain amount of money coming in for this, and we're going to get our supplements. We appreciate what you do, and Austin does. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers, too. We get to pray for you guys all the time. I love you, and I appreciate you. Austin, I'm going to go ahead and close. You'll be doing the write-up today. I appreciate all of you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.